While he's finishing up handing these out, you can take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter number 11. It's where we'll start, all right? We're actually going to only get through about two chapters tonight if we get through that. I don't know how much of that we'll get through. All right. Hopefully everybody's got one. Brother Keith. Brother Wade. Brother Keith's flagging you down back there. All right. All right, we'll start with number one. Now, this is an interesting thing. You know, most folks don't realize this when they think about the Apostle Paul. But if you look at number one, Paul's ministry spanned just a little more than 10 years. That's about all that there was. He traveled. Now, this is a very interesting thing because in those 10 years, he traveled through four different Roman provinces to include Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and also Asia Minor. And there are several works in all of those areas, all right? And he left behind him thriving churches in the key cities of each of them when he finished his journeys and the churches were planted. Unfortunately, today, when you go back to a lot of those sites and a lot of those places, those churches aren't in existence today, all right? There are other ones that have come up, but some of the initial ones, of course, are not in place. And so if you look at note number two, now here's an interesting thing. Before A.D. 47, there were no churches in these provinces. But by A.D. 57, they were growing and expanding, all right, in just that amount of time. So let's go to chapter 11, and one of the things that you're going to find on this set of notes, okay, is all the scripture references are on there for you this time, okay? So let's go to Acts chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 19, okay? And we'll work our way down through these verses, all right? Acts chapter 11, we'll start in verse 19. And what you're going to have here is actually the beginning of Paul's journey, okay, when they're getting ready to make this journey. So we're picking up in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch." So, you know, Barnabas is going to travel from Jerusalem. He's going to travel all the way up to Antioch in Syria. If you look at the map in front of you, if you find Jerusalem down on the map, and then just travel north. As you travel north, you'll see Antioch in Syria. Most folks don't understand. There's two Antiochs. There's Antioch in Syria, and then there's Antioch in Pisidia, right? And the one we're talking about is the Antioch in Syria, all right? So you should be able to find that one on your map, all right? Verse 23, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord." Verse 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus." If you look over on that map, if you look over towards the west from Antioch, you should see Tarsus, right? Everybody see Tarsus over there? Kind of north, just if you'll just kind of go just a little northwest, okay? You'll see Tarsus. Remember where Paul was from? Paul was from Tarsus, all right? So Barnabas is going to go back over to Tarsus to find Saul, all right, or Paul. Verse 26, "And so when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church." Now they stayed for a year in Antioch. in Antioch of Syria, when you see that there. So they came back, they stayed there for a year, and they taught the people. And the disciples, and here, and you ought to underline this phrase, okay? This is where they were first called Christians, and it was in Antioch in Syria, okay? They were first called Christians there. Verse 27, and in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And these were some that came up from Jerusalem, out of the church in Jerusalem, all right? And verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all of the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. In other words, there was famine, and there were some other things. There were some difficulties that were going on. The Christians down in Jerusalem, at the church in Jerusalem, were struggling, all right? And then verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Judea is a broad term for the region. They were actually going to go back to the church that was in Jerusalem, all right? And what they were going to do was to carry that relief back to the church in Jerusalem and to all of those that were in Jerusalem. And then verse 30, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So they traveled from Antioch back down into Judea, into Jerusalem, all right? Go to chapter 12, all right? And flip over to chapter 12. We're moving in a chronological fashion here. Go to chapter 12 and verse 25. And this is how we know that they were in Jerusalem and they went actually into Jerusalem. So after all of that was over, verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So that's John Mark. So now there's three of them. All right, you got Barnabas, and you've got Saul before his name is changed in the Scripture to Paul, and you have John Mark. So you have three of them that are in Jerusalem, going to leave Jerusalem, and they're going to get ready to head back towards Antioch. Just hold on. I'm going to give all that to you in just a minute, okay? All that's coming, okay? All right. All right, so if you look at number three in your notes, okay, we see Paul's first missionary journey, and we're going to start with the first location. Now, they're going to make their way back from Jerusalem back up to Antioch in Syria, all right? So let's start in chapter 13, verse 1 through verse 4, all right? Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed over to Cyprus. Now, Antioch was the starting point. As a matter of fact, you could even write out beside that phrase, Antioch was the starting point, you could actually write out beside of that, they were the sending church of Barnabas and Saul, right? They've been set apart now, and they're going to move from Antioch in Syria, and matter of fact, they're going to make their way down to Seleucia. Now, the question is about how far was that? Well, it was about 16 miles if you went by land. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you follow the river that comes from Antioch down to Seleucia, if you go by river, it was almost 40 miles from Antioch to Seleucia, all right? But they could travel on foot, and it was about 16 miles, which they did. They went by land from Antioch down to Seleucia. Now, if you look at your notes, Seleucia was one of the world's most famous ports of the day. It was made so by the Romans. It's an interesting port when you look at it, because the port actually was down low. You went up a set of rocks and cliffs, and Seleucia is kind of set up there. So it was very strategically located as well. So they could see down on the port that was there in Seleucia. So if you look at your map that you've got in front of you, you can see from Antioch, they're going to make their way down to the port at Seleucia, which is about 16 miles between those two places that are there. And then the last note under A there in your notes, Paul and Barnabas sailed from Seleucia over to Cyprus. And of course, John Mark's with them as well. Now, how far was it to travel from Seleucia over to Cyprus? I can tell you this, they didn't go by land, okay? They had to take a boat from Seleucia over to Cyprus. On a good day, with a good wind, okay, it would take just a few hours to get there, all right? Matter of fact, if from Seleucia, if you stood up where the actual city of Seleucia was on a good clear day, you could actually see the island of Cyprus, all right? So it wasn't that much. And by miles, it was approximately 100 miles from Seleucia over to Salamis, which was on the far east side of Cyprus. Okay? All right? Now, let's go back to Acts. Well, let's go to Acts 13, verse 5. That's where we are, okay? Because their first stop after they leave Seleucia is actually Salamis, okay? That we see there on the east side of. Everybody see Cyprus? You see it on your map? Okay, you see where Salamis is there on the map, all right? So let's look at verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So they went into the synagogue and they preached the gospel to the Jews that were there. They preached the word of God to the Jews that were there at Salamis. Now, Salamis was a thriving commercial center. Of course, it was right on the port there in Cyprus. So they got a lot of traffic through there. And this particular region, matter of fact, Salamis itself actually contained a great number of synagogues in that area. There was a pretty heavy population of Jews there in that area, and they contained a number of Jewish synagogues. All right? And we quickly move, though, from Salamis, and we move over to Paphos. And if you look at verse 6, as they continue their journey. Verse number 6, and when they had gone through the isle, matter of fact, they traveled across Cyprus over to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which is an interesting character within himself, okay? And this is an interesting thing. They're going to pause here for a little while they're here, all right? If you look at your notes, there's some interesting things about Paphos here that we see. First of all, it was referred to as the ancient world in miniature, just because of the concentration of different people groups that were located there. So they considered that the ancient world in miniature. Matter of fact, it was the seat of worship of Venus, an Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and they worshipped Venus. Venus was outside of the city. And one of the things that they found when they got to Paphos was paganism was raw and wild, okay? Prostitution ran wild, okay? Matter of fact, one of the things that they did, if not force, or strongly encouraged all of the women to at some point enter into some of the rituals within the Temple of Venus that was located there in Paphos. So paganism ran, it was raw and wild there. And matter of fact, Sergius Paulus was the proconsul there. And so let's just kind of take and look through here. We think about Paul's journeys and we don't understand sometimes some of the challenges that they ran into. Well, here comes one of the big ones for them, okay? So let's see what happens. Let's start in verse number 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So in other words, trying to prevent Sergius Paulus from turning to the faith once they heard the word of God. Verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, so his name now is going to change right here, okay? So from here on, from 13:9 on, you'll see Paul. You won't see Saul anymore. Filled with the Holy Ghost, could you imagine when Paul looked at him? Okay? I mean, his eyes, when you read that verse, then Saul, who's also called out, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And in verse 10, and he said, now, boy, here comes the boldness of Paul, all right? Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief. And now look what he calls him. You child of the devil. The enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Paul looked at him and called him a child of the devil and said, you're not going to see anymore. He went blind, and so now they're trying to lead him around. Okay? Could you imagine those? Hey, what do you imagine? So, you know, what do you imagine Sergius Paulus is probably thinking at this point, watching all of this that has occurred, okay? Verse 12, then the deputy, here it comes, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So they had the opportunity to lead Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, okay, to the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing, okay? So all of that happened for the short time they were there at Paphos, okay? All right. Well, if you go to D, we're going to leave Paphos now, and we're going to make our way over to Perga in Pamphylia. If you notice if you'll look at your map, you'll see as we make that journey around. So we're going to leave from Paphos. They're going to go by boat up to Perga, okay? Well, let me say this. From Salamis over to Paphos is about 100 miles. Okay? So from Antioch to Salamis was about 100 miles. And so from Salamis over to Paphos is about 100 miles. And now from Paphos to Perga in Pamphylia is about 175 miles. Okay? Now, I want you all to understand something. They didn't go to a local airport and get on an airplane, okay? They didn't have an automobile that would travel 70 miles an hour, okay? This was all over land and or by boat, okay? 10 years, 4 provinces of Rome, starting with Galatia, going all the way through Macedonia to Achaia and Asia Minor, traveling on foot or by boat, okay? And this is just his first journey, all right? So Perga and Pamphylia, look at verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, went and returned back to Jerusalem, okay? He left and went back to Jerusalem. So now it's just Paul and Barnabas that are going to go on from here, right? Now, what is interesting about Perga, you see in your notes there's a temple that was erected to Artemis or Diana that stood on a hill outside of the city, okay? So paganism was rampant even here, okay? All right. We're going to move now from Perga in Pamphylia, and we're going to go up to Antioch in Pisidia. All right? Do y'all see that? You see it on the map. All right? You just follow that map as we make the course up through there. Okay? Look at Acts 13, verse 14 through verse 16. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. It's a Sabbath day. They're in the synagogue. And there's teaching going on. They're all in there, okay? And after the reading, verse 15, and after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Shouldn't have told Paul that, okay? Because guess what Paul is going to do? Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. All right? Now, he goes all the way through, all right? And you can go through. We won't read all of that for the sake of time tonight, but I do want to get down to verse 42, okay? So after he finishes his discourse, all right, we come down to verse 42, all right? And this is the part I want to get to, verse 42 through verse 52. So we're still in Antioch and Pisidia, okay? And so we come down to verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now they're drawing a crowd, okay? Matter of fact, at this point, almost the whole entire city comes together. Verse 45, and when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with what? Because now all the Gentiles are coming as well. So they're all, this large crowd, almost the whole city is there. And they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now, let me tell you something. Most folks think that, you know, Paul just went and they started these churches and they never... Listen, it was difficulty the whole way, all right? Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, speaking to the Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You didn't want it. Matter of fact, you turned away from it, not wanting this everlasting life or eternal life. And so we took it to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all of that region. But the Jews aren't finished yet, okay? And notice what they're going to do, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and the honorable women. You see that? And the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But look what old Paul and them do. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them, and they came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Run out of Antioch and Pisidia. Okay? So if you look at your map, okay, from Antioch and Pisidia, go just a little southeast and you'll come into the town of Iconium. All right? Now, from Paphos down to Perga is about 175 miles. From Perga up to Antioch in Pisidia is about 100 miles. All right? And now from Antioch in Pisidia over to Iconium is about 85 miles. Okay? Somewhere between 85 and 90 miles. All right? So let's go to chapter 14 and let's look at verse number 1. So we're just following this journey through here, okay? And it came to pass in Iconium, verse 1, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now, you'll notice the notes under number F under Iconium. Iconium was 85 to 90 miles southeast of Antioch. Some of the Jews and Gentiles wanted Paul and Barnabas publicly insulted and stoned. All right? Let's look at verse number 2 of chapter 14. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully, now watch this, or to insult them, and then also to stone them. Right? That's what they sought to do when they found themselves in Iconium. All right? You know, I don't know, about this time I'd be getting to some, you know, here's what we often do, so, you know, you start to, well, mate, you know, Lord, is this a direction we still ought to be going? It seems like every time we turn around, there's opposition. I tell you what, most of the time, that's the direction. When that opposition comes, okay, and you're carrying the gospel and you're carrying the word of the Lord, will there be opposition to it? Sure there will be. You're having an impact and you're making a difference? Sure there will be. All right? All right. Well, here's what Paul and them do. Paul and Barnabas, it's time to go. So we go from Iconium now. If you'll notice on your map, just go due south from Iconium down to Lystra. You'll see Lystra and Derbe there, all right? Now, if you look under G in your notes, it's about another 30 to 40-mile journey. It was 30 miles to Lystra and another 30 miles from Lystra down to Derbe, all right? Some of the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, now here's what they did. They followed Paul and Barnabas. From Iconium, they followed them down to Lystra, okay, and stirred up the people in Lystra. So let's pick it up in verse number 6. They were aware of it, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Right? Now, if you read from verse 8, okay, over to verse 18, you'll get all those details, but let's pick it up in 19, chapter 14 and verse 19, okay? And notice what it says. And so there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. I mean, they didn't fit. I mean, when Paul left, they weren't finished up there in Iconium. They followed him down to Lystra. And when they got down there to Lystra, they drug him out. And when they drug him out, they stoned him, okay? Supposing he was dead. And they left him laying there after they stoned him. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and went back into Lystra, okay? And the next day he departed with Barnabas down to Derbe. I don't know if I'd have gone back into Lystra or not, okay? I said, you boys need to help me get on down to Derbe. We just need to get as far away from these guys as we can, all right? Now here's the interesting thing about that. We're all the way down to Derbe, okay? And we get down to Derbe. Now, this is going to be interesting because if you look at your map, okay, when they leave Derbe, guess which direction they're going to go? They're going to go from Derbe back to Lystra, back through Iconium, back to Antioch and Pisidia, okay, and back around, all right? So look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So they went back through that way. I don't know about you boys. I don't know about you folks, but I'd probably found me another route across there, okay? Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue. Let me tell you what he did. Not only did they toss him out, but he went back through, and guess what? He encouraged the ones that he'd had a part in their life on his way back through. I can imagine, they saw, Paul, what happened to you? It's good, okay? And encouraged them in the faith after all that had happened. Okay, and then look at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came, of course, to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attaliah. Now, if you'll notice on your map, there's another town just to the west of Perga down there called Attaliah. Does everybody see that? Okay. So instead of coming through Perga, they come back through Attaliah. All right? Verse 26, and then they sailed to Antioch, and that's Antioch in Syria, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples there in Antioch of Syria. You know what they came back? They came back and rehearsed all the good things God had done. Okay? All that that God had done. All right. Now I'm going to give you a little quick calculation here. Are you ready? Okay. Here it is. From Attalia over to Seleucia is about 320 miles by boat, okay, that they traveled. So here's the total miles that were traveled by Paul and Barnabas from the time that they left Antioch in Syria till they made that whole journey and they come all the way back. It's 1,235 miles. No car, no plane, no train, okay? Not even a horse. Okay? By foot, over land, and by boat. Okay? All the way. But let me ask you a question. Was Paul motivated to share the gospel? Sure he was. Even in the time of difficulty. His second missionary journey is going to be a little bit longer. Okay? And the same with the third. Lord willing, we'll have the second one for you with the chart and all, okay? And we'll go through and we'll walk through each place, okay? And now hopefully, let me tell you what I'm hoping and praying out of this day that we're doing, that the church will now just become alive to you and you'll understand what we have today came at great cost, okay? The Bible that we hold in our hands came at great cost. Our churches today come at great cost of what we do. And to understand that, just to encourage us for our faith to be strong and just to continue on. It is not time to quit. If there's ever been a time to just really get, and you know how you see the horses and the oxen, buddy, when they have to bear down, when they're under a load and they're under strain, now's the time to really bear down, boy, and just put that head down and just press on for the Lord. Amen? That's correct. If you go back before, as a matter of fact, in chapter number 12, well, when you leave 11 and go to 12, you can read about that. Peter and James were taken, put in prison. James was actually martyred. James was killed. They put Peter in prison, okay? Peter got out, all right? And he showed up at Rhoda's house. They looked, okay? She looked through there. That's Peter, okay? But what you find is the Bible says that when all of that happened, they prayed more earnestly, and the boldness to carry the gospel grew even stronger. The church has always grown stronger under persecution, not under the absence of persecution. You would think it would be just the opposite, but it's not. Amen? They think that first journey, because he spent a considerable amount of time of each place, that first journey probably took them two and a half years, somewhere around there. Uh-huh. Okay. It took them, we could go 1,235 miles in 8 hours, okay? That's right. All right. Anything else before we go? All right. If not, let's stand. Pray for this coming Lord's Day. We'll be baptizing 5 Sunday morning. Okay? So that is a blessing within itself. So that'll be at the beginning of the service. That'll start off our service here. So just pray for that. And also remember all the requests that we have and just all of the others that are recovering. And all of those different things tonight. So as we pray, as we go to the throne of grace in prayer and are dismissed tonight, Brother Steve Bowen, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?